Glad to have each of you here this morning. We've got a lot of visitors from out of town here for Memorial Day weekend. Some of you may be passing through. Some of you may be home just to see family, spend a little time with your family this weekend. And we're just glad that you've come our way. Some of you have come from big cities, big towns, a lot bigger than Childress, Texas, where you had to pick a road or pick a highway to get here. Some of you made decisions about the direction which you would come, trying to decide what would be the shortest way. Some of you look sometimes and say, well, what's the fastest way to get where it is that I need to get going? What is the prettiest way that I can go on whatever it is that that I'll enjoy the trip so much? I talked to some folks coming from Lubbock last night. They said the trip over from Lubbock was the prettiest they've ever done because of all the wildflowers that are growing, because of all the rain, that the God's scenery and God's landscaping that He had done with the wildflowers is absolutely magnificent. Going to talk a little bit about life as a highway. There was a guy in 1991 by the name of Tom Cochran who wrote a song about that. I believe they redid it for a movie, Cars, by I think a country group by the name of Rascal Flatts. And we got to thinking about that, that how life is a highway, and picking the right lane is essential. That you got to choose the right lane. If you get on the wrong lane, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble as you go. There are a lot of highways that you can choose from. In Dallas, Texas is just one of the places that you go to. A lot of times when you're from Childress and you go to a big city and you head out and you go, man, we got down there and we were trying to figure out which way, left exit, right exit. When we go to Dallas, a lot of times I tell Lee, I say, all right, you're the co-pilot. You've got to be watching those signs for me to tell me when we're supposed to get off, because you know as well as I do that when you get off on a wrong road in a big place where there's highways and roads going every direction, sometimes it takes an hour before you can get back in the direction you want to go. It is easy to get off the main road. It is tough getting back to the road that you need to be back to. A couple of years ago, when going to Dallas, we took a big group down from here. We were going to Six Flags together, and we caravanned a lot of cars and told everybody, we're going to come in here, we're staying here, y'all stay together. We got down into a place that looked a whole lot like this right here in Dallas, Texas, and we had different folks following us, and we looked back, and I heard somebody go, well, isn't that Kyle and Melissa Vannoy going that direction over there? And they were. You watch them as they just disappeared. You know, I'm glad they found us, and they did, but it took them a while to get back on the right road. It's not always an easy thing to do to get back on the right road once you've got on the wrong road. Picking your lane is important. Now, some of us here, it'll make a little more sense. Sometimes those that live on dirt roads know that after a good rain that ruts will get in a road. And sometimes you can make them old ruts, and once it dries out, you learn that sometimes when you got an old rough road and somebody's come down and busted some ruts out and it's dried out, you place your tires in those ruts and that old car will almost drive itself staying in those little ruts down an old country road. And it's kind of hard to hop out once you hopped in some of those. And you got to be kind of careful when you're trying to get out that you don't overcorrect. Or picking that road's not always easy. That's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. We want to make sure we pick the right road. Every lane goes somewhere. And I want to suggest to you this morning some good lanes and some bad lanes to take, all right? And we're going to do some pictures this morning. We hadn't had a video system in about 2 months, maybe more, so we hadn't had any pictures. I thought we'd do most of these in pictures this morning. We're going to talk first about the fast lane, all right? Let's talk about the fast lane. This is not the lane that you want to be on. In fact, the sign up there says the fast lane is not the best lane. Now, when it comes to life as a highway, the fast lane isn't the best lane. People get in a hurry. They want to get the most out of life. There's a lot of people that consider life is nothing but fun, fun, fun. And I want to get as much fun as I can in life. Now, life is full of joy, and life can be full of fun, but if that is your only goal and your main goal, then I can guarantee you the fast lane is not the road you want to be on.
In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 16, tells a story about a young boy who wanted to get on the fast lane. And once he got on, it tells us it wasn't easy to get back off. You see, this young boy told his dad, he said, "Dad, it's boring around here. Give me my money. My inheritance is coming to me. Let me check out. I'm going to go somewhere else. I got to get out from under your house and go." And so dad gave him his inheritance. He left. And if you remember the story of the prodigal son, that boy spent everything he had on wild living and fun and partying. He took the fast lane and he lived hard. It wasn't long until the fast lane wore him out. He had nothing left. And that's generally 9.9 times out of 10 what happens on the fast lane. And this young boy wound up with nothing, found himself in a pig pen feeding pigs for a living, having nothing to eat and looking down going, "Man, that looks so good. I'm so hungry that I'd like to just eat what they're eating." And so he picks up some of their food and begins to eat it, and it dawns on him, This isn't the right lane to be on. And he decides, "I've got to figure out how to get back on the right lane." And he does. And I hope you'll read the rest of that story today as that boy realizes, "I have got to get back on the right lane." Wasn't an easy lane. You couldn't just jump back on and go, "Okay, everything's better." Once you get on the fast lane, sometimes it's hard to get off the fast lane. In Daniel chapter 5, there's a story of a king by the name of Belshazzar. And Belshazzar's dad told him before he became king, he said, "Look, you need to do things God's way. Because if you do them God's way, God will bless you and good things will happen." Guess what old Belshazzar chose for his lifestyle? The fast lane. And that's the way he lived. He lived hard, boy. And one night at a big party he was having, when they had all drank too much to drink, all of a sudden there was a vision of a hand coming down and writing on a wall. And nobody knew what that vision meant. And they called for Daniel to come and say, "Tell me what that means." And you know what Daniel told him? He said, "God has said you've been living hard and living wrong. You've been called into account and you have come up short." Basically, if I could paraphrase it my way, God told him, "You've been living on the fast lane. And that's not the lane you need to be on, and you're about to pay the price, a huge, huge price." I've known a lot of people in life that's lived on the fast lane. I've had friends that's lived on the fast lane, and it just makes me nauseous. Not because I look at them and I go, "You poor people." Not because of the pity, but because of the problems that the fast lane's brought in their life. I have presided at two very good friends of mine. Funeral. Because they lived on the fast lane. It is not the best lane to be on. A lot of people will tell you, "Boy, it's the fun lane." Satan will say, "Boy, that's the lane everybody's on." But it's not the lane that's the best choice. Fast is not always the best. Did you read a couple of weeks ago about the post office up north that they did? They come in and they built this post office. It was the new and improved way to do things. They come in and they whip it out. They have it done in a month. Absolutely everything. They're in, they're out. Everything's done. And they spent millions doing this, getting tons of people in, get it done. They have the ribbon cutting ceremony. The guy goes to drop the first letter in the inbox, in the drop box, and they realize they forgot to put a drop box in a post office. I mean, it was the big story. Here they were, and its job was to send letters, and you couldn't even send letters there because they had forgot the main thing. They had gotten in such a hurry to try and get things done. There are many on the fast lane. You forget the basics. Life, there's not enough minutes. Some of you need to slow down and get off the fast lane. Let me give you another lane. This is a lane you don't want to be on either. This is the false lane. And if you'll notice up here, it says false lane this way, and everybody's headed that way. There are lots of people on the false lane. That's on the lane that you're just not quite sure. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 23, who the false lane. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It says, God hates. I know that doesn't sound politically correct, does it? But that's what it says. God hates false weights and measures. They are an abomination to Him. Do you know what that means? God hates things that are false. He hates dishonesty. He hates it when people cheat other people just to get something out of it. He hates the attitude of, hey, if I can, you know, if I can make an extra buck or two over here just by being a little underhanded, well, hey, you should have just been on your game a little bit more in this business sense. And God says, I hate that kind of dealing. Don't like people that feel like they have to cheat other people to just either get ahead or to get a little bit extra. And there are a lot of folks that love this lane because they like to see what they can get out of other folks. There are so many things in life that are false. They look one way, but they're really another. Now, let me just give you an example. You may want to buy one of these. That's just your choice. But the lottery, one of those things, false way. Now, let me give you an example. They come along and they love to say, buy a ticket. You better buy two because it's the richest it has ever been. You're going to want in on this. But what they don't tell you is that your chances of winning it are like one in a billion. I mean, they don't give you that side of it. They say, oh, you're going to want in. But sometimes they don't. They don't give you the other side. It's kind of what Satan did when Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, did God really tell you you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, because he knows that if you do, you're going to be like him. Satan was telling them the truth. But then he said, it's okay to go ahead and do it. So Satan was kind of saying, here's some truth. Here's a little bit of false. We'll mix it all together and it sounds a whole lot better. That's been the false lane, and it's been around a long time. Magicians, they take empty boxes and they pull out live birds or rabbits. You know how they do that? It's because something about it is false. In life, when people say or start pulling something out of nothing, you need to watch out. You need to watch out. I had a little kid tell me a story this week. It was supposed to be kind of a joke. It did a good job on it. I loved it. I thought it was really good. About a man who needed a job, and he went and applied at a zoo. And they said, well, he said, the manager of the zoo said, told him, said, we had our gorilla die this week. And he said, what I really need, he's our main attraction. I really need somebody to put on a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla until we can find a real gorilla. So the guy said, I'll take this job. And so for 3 weeks, he spent time being the gorilla, and he'd jump around and stuff, and every day at 2 o'clock, they'd have a big show where the gorilla would come, and he would come out, and he would taunt the lion. And he would pretend to swing by, and the lion would reach up and kind of paw at him as he taunted him. And this was the big show everybody wanted to come watch, where the gorilla taunted the lion. Just so happens one afternoon, big show, everybody turns out, he's wanting to put on a good show. And boy, he swings down his little vine, and all of a sudden it breaks this time, and he is scared to death. He is in the cage with a lion. And he is sitting there, and all of a sudden the gorilla starts hollering out, don't eat me, don't eat me, you know. And all of a sudden, what surprises him is the lion hollers back and says, hush, man, you're going to get us both in trouble. The thing about when you're on the false lane is sometimes on the false lane, you get people you think that are upright, that they're being false to you in the same way. About the time you think, man, I got all this figured out and I've got to weigh into this good deal, you find out you've been the one that's been being taken the whole time. The problem is the false lane is you think you're fooling people, but someone in the next cage might very well be fooling you, and God hates false things. Read when you get time today, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 27. Talks a little bit about the man who built his house on the sand. That's a very false thing to do. His house didn't stand very long. Let me give you another lane that we'll find as one. Fool's Lane. If you'll notice a sign up here on Fool's Lane, it says, caution, Fool's Lane ahead. That's not a lane that you need to be on either. That's a lane you need to avoid as well. In Luke chapter 12, there's a story about a fool. You say, well, how do you know he was a fool? Because Jesus called him a fool. You see, this man had lived his whole life storing up what he could get, material things, without putting any effort into seeing that he was right with God. He had been a farmer, and everything he had touched had pretty much turned to gold. He had made great crops. He built barns, and then he couldn't store all his crops, so he'd build bigger barns. And then right at the end, it says Jesus tells his story about this man, and Jesus says, this man said, I'm going to take life easy now. I've got all my stuff stored up. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Life is good. And Jesus said, that man's a fool, because this very night his life will be called into account by God. And what's he got to show but a barn full of grain? He had stored no treasures up in heaven. And Jesus called him a fool. We need to be careful about fool's lane. It's easy to get on this lane. This lane consists of how much stuff could I get in this old world? In Matthew 19, that text up there is a little off. It's Matthew chapter 19 is where this story is. It tells you about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and says, what do I got to do to come follow you? Jesus says, well, what you need to do is you've got something holding you back. Go sell all your stuff, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And that young man said, I just can't do that. Just can't do that. He had too much that he didn't want to lose, too much that he had stored up. And they were worth more to him than following Jesus at that time in his life. There are more people in America on Fool's Lane than possibly any other lane. They say, if I can't have more, I'm not going to be happy. But more is not always what gets you happy. What we find out is sometimes that more makes you just want more. And when you get more, you got to have a little bit more. And we have a hard time learning to be content. That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that contentment, when you combine it with godliness, is great gain. It's not all about how much you can accumulate. It's not all about how much you got or how much you can get. Watch out for Fool's Lane, because it will get you. People working long hours or 2, 3, 4 jobs just for extra things in life. John D. Rockefeller passed away, and they asked his accountant, how much did he leave? You know what he said? He said he left all of it. All of it. And when you leave this earth, you'll leave all of what you've accumulated. Fools are duped into believing and into thinking, I can control my stuff. But really, it's our stuff that controls us. You've heard the old story, I love it, about the fly that lands on the flypaper. And he says, oh, this is sweet. And he digs his old legs in deep in that flypaper and takes a big lick and says, oh, this is my flypaper. I love this stuff. Everybody else stay away. My flypaper. And the old flypaper squeezes in tight and sticks his old legs in tight and says, this is my fly. My fly. And nobody else can have it. We do the same thing. We take our stuff and we drag our old arms around it and we go, this is my stuff. And nobody can take my stuff. And the stuff says, this is my man. This is my woman. I'm the one that has them. I thought it was interesting. I saw a statistic here recently and I didn't get it up on the board. I'll just read it to you, share with you. I thought it was kind of neat. It was talking about a poll that they did of who thought how important Christ was in your life, how important Christianity and God was. Would you believe that those who make less than $20,000 a year are the ones that had a higher percentage of saying, I have God at the top of my life? And the more people made, the further God came down the list of where He came in life and importance. Which kind of goes to show you, the more you have sometimes makes you less dependent upon God. And that doesn't always mean that, hey, if you've got a lot, that you're not dependent upon God. Paul told us again in 1 Timothy 6 that God has blessed us with everything we have to enjoy it. Just make sure you share it. That's what he told us. Fool's Lane. That's not where you want to be. Let me give you another one real quick. Two more. This one will go quick. How about Fear's Lane? Here's a sign. It says Fear Lane. Not the road of choice. You don't want to drive down Fear Lane. Matthew 28, verse 5, You know what Jesus told him before he left this earth? He said, do not fear. You know what Jesus told the apostles when he... You know what the angel told Mary when before Jesus showed up? Do not fear. Did you know in your New Testament that there are over 365 do not fears in there? That command is given more time than any other command in your New Testament. In your Bible, do not fear. That is the number one thing. That's a do not fear for every day of your year. And yet we're scared of everything. We don't want to drink the water. We don't want to walk outside. We don't want to let our kids play outside. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. We're scared of absolutely everything. We're afraid of terrorism. We're afraid of the future. And God says, get off fear road and let me take care of your life. Trust me for a while. Fear lane will always get you. We look at old Peter sometimes. Remember when Peter walked on water and he got out of the boat, Matthew chapter 14, and we go, oh, that was ridiculous, Peter. You can't walk on water. Well, at least he got out of the boat. None of them other chickens in the boat were willing to. He was the only one. He's got a bad rap. He shouldn't have. He was the only one brave enough to get out of the boat. We need to be people who are willing and brave enough to get out of the boat in life. Because we know who it is that's sailing our boat, which is God. It's not all about fear in this world. The little African impala frog can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet in distance. That is one long jumping frog. But did you know when they transport that frog, they can put him in a 2x2 box without a lid on it? Somebody says, well, why won't he jump out? The frog is scared to jump anywhere that he can't see where he's going to land. You can take that little frog that can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long and put him in a cardboard shoebox and he won't jump anywhere because he's scared to. And God says, so many times, jump. I'm going to be there to catch you. And we go, Lord, I just don't think I can. What if I don't know where I'm going to land? God told Abraham, said, jump. Move to another land. I'll show you when you get there. Abraham didn't say, oh, Lord, I'm scared to jump. Abraham said, I'll have my stuff ready in the morning. Don't drive down fear lane. It's not the lane of choice. Let me give you one last one. This is where you actually want to be. This is faith lane. You'll notice maybe not as many people on that one. Good old straight, open, wide road, faith lane. This is the one I want to be on. In Hebrews chapter 11, you read a lot about a bunch of men of faith and women of faith. The faith lane is the only lane that leads to something productive. The only lane. It leads to life, eternal life. That's what the faith lane does. I remember an African missionary by the name of J.D. Patton explaining the verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16, that whosoever believeth, he talked about what that meant in their language. And it was amazing to think what it meant when it talks about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes, you know that word whoever believes means faith, that whoever has faith. And you know what that word faith means? That word whosoever believes? Faith is, it's kind of like this old chair up here. In that terminology, I'm trusting that it's going to hold me when I sit down. I still got my feet on the floor. But that word whoever believes is when you pick your old feet up off the floor and you lean back and you go, I'm going to put all my faith that this chair is going to hold me. And that's what that means when in that verse in Africa, where he was from, when somebody said whoever believes means whoever puts all their weight on God and believes God's going to hold them. And I thought, wow, what a great translation of that verse. That I've got enough faith to know God's going to make sure that I'm not going to fall. You look at the fast lane and the false lane and fear's lane. You're on those roads, you're headed for a big wreck. If you're on faith lane, that's a good lane to be on. A good lane to be on. One last picture. I'm glad I'm not there, wherever that is. I'm glad I'm not there. That's a lot of traffic. I don't want to be on that road, that's for sure. But you look at it for a second, all those people are traveling somewhere. Every road will lead you to some place. So you better choose your road wise. What road you on today? What road have you picked in this life? You can't pick two roads. You can't be on two roads at one time. You can't say, well, I like the faith lane, but I also like the fast lane some. And I choose both of them. You can't be on two roads. You can't look up and head into Six Flags and go, hey, there we go over there on that lane. No, you're on one lane or you're on another lane. You can't ride two lanes. What lane are you in? Life is a highway. Make sure you choose what lane you're going to ride in. Choose carefully what lane you're going to choose to go in. We're going to sing an invitation at this time. If you need to respond this morning, we'd love to encourage you to come. We pray with you if you're ready to become a Christian. Whatever your need may be, we'd like to invite you to come as we stand and we sing this song.